Good morning. greetings to all of you with the peace from the God of peace. It's been a blessing to be here already this morning. My soul was ministered to. I have a few thoughts here this morning. We was asked to share, and it seemed like what came to me, the word peace kept ringing in my mind, and so I was recognizing that maybe there were some areas in my life that I was lacking that. So in my own neediness, the thought of the peace of God kept coming to me. And so I thought maybe we would look at a few scriptures on this. The Webster's 1828 gives freedom from agitation or disturbance by the passions as from fear, terror, anger, anxiety, or the like. Quietness of the mind, tranquility, calmness, quiet of conscience. Now the heart of God, He wants to give us peace. It's peace. I'll read two verses in Isaiah that was really a blessing. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And that was just, as I said, it's out of my own neediness here that I'm sharing. And I also thought of on the Judea hillside there, the angels proclaimed peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil. Our Heavenly Father's heart is that we are filled with His peace. I think peace and love seems like, as I thought about this, all could be interchangeable. but to get on with my thoughts here, as I meditated and the phrase here in John 14:27 caught my attention, and it's something that I was challenged with. I'll read it here. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That phrase there, not as the world giveth. and I sort of recognized that, we can be good at when things aren't quite maybe the way they should be, to not be serious enough to get to the root of things. And because as I was thinking about this, it seems like the world has a counterfeit peace. What the world giveth is very temporal and fleeting. So, I guess my thoughts were in the line of how can I have the authentic peace of God if I have worldly inclinations? And like I said, I think it can hit closer home. Worldly inclinations can hit closer home than what we care to admit. And it's that way for me. A couple verses in Proverbs here. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. There is a way that seemeth right. That was Proverbs 19:21. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And we know that man left to himself, he will surely, without the Holy Spirit working in our life, we will die spiritually. So because, so again, that the real peace of God, because if I have these inclinations, I will be lacking the real peace of God, or I will have a counterfeit peace, which is what Jesus is, I think, implying in that verse. As I said earlier, I'm challenging myself with these scriptures. Because if I have these worldly influences in my life, I'll be lacking in some more fruit, in some more fruit of the Spirit, meekness, gentleness, and more. James 4:4 is a challenge. Every time I read it. I think I'll just read that here. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is at enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And the verses on down, it speaks of humbling ourselves and drawing nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to us. And I can testify that He did. I'm forever grateful for that. There's many ways that I'm just scratching the surface of the peace of God. You can go in the way of I believe if we have that authentic peace of God, we'll want others to have it too, our neighbors, our brothers. And we'll be very unselfish with it. But I think so I have a couple verses here that really a blessing. I'll read these, and then I have this psalm that I think I'll take time to read. By most of you have heard it, but I was just challenged again. It just kind of showed up there. The church walking with the world. Just very thought-provoking. But these verses here, let them be an encouragement to us. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. In John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I, Jesus, have overcome the world." So with Jesus as our Savior, our Lord, our Master, our guide, and the one that went before us, we can be overcomers. So I think I'll go ahead and read this. And as I said, I'm challenging myself with these because I thought of how, you know, growing up all my years, you know, that verse in the world is it's the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. You know, the world is always out there. And I was just thinking, you know, our children, if we're not careful, they can also have a little bit of that mentality. But the world, this flesh and blood, this self here, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But praise the Lord, we can be overcomers. The church and the world walked far apart on the changing shore of time. The world was singing a giddy song, and the church's hymn sublime. "Come, give me your hand," said the merry world, "and walk with me this way." But the good church hid her snowy hand and solemnly answered, "Nay, I will not give you my hand at all. I will not walk with you. Your way is the way of eternal death, and your words are all untrue." "Nay, walk with me a little space," said the world with a kindly air. "The road I walk is a pleasant road, and the sun shines always there. Your way is narrow and thorny and rough, while mine is flowery and smooth. Your lot is sad with reproach and toil, but in rounds of joy I move. My way, you can see, is a broad, fair one, and my gate is high and wide. There is room enough for you and me, and we'll travel side by side." Half shyly the church approached the world and gave her hand of snow, and the false world grasped it and walked along and whispered in accents low, "Your dress is too simple to please my taste. I have gold and pearls to wear, rich velvets and silks for your graceful form, and diamonds to deck your hair." The church looked down at her plain white robes and at the dazzling world and blushed as she saw his handsome lip with a smile contemptuous curled. "I will change my dress for a costlier one," said the church with a smile of grace. Then her pure white garment drifted away, and the world gave in, and the world gave in their place. Beautiful satins and fashionable silks, and roses and gems and pearls, and over her forehead her bright hair fell and waved in a thousand curls. "Your house is too plain," said the proud old world. "Let us build you one like mine, with kitchen for feasting and parlor for play, and furniture ever so fine." So he built her costly and beautiful house. Splendid it was to behold. Her sons and daughters met frequently there, shining in purple and gold. Rich fairs and shows in the halls were held, and the world and her children were there. Laughter and music and feasting were heard in the place that was meant for prayer. The angel in mercy rebuked the church and whispered, "I know thy sin." And the church looked sad and anxiously longed to gather the children in. But some were away at the midnight ball, and others were at the play, and some were drinking gay saloons, and the angel went away. And then said the world in soothing tones, "Your loved ones mean no harm, merely indulging in innocent sport." So she leaned on his pro-offered arm, and smiled and chatted and gathered flowers, and walked along with the world, while countless millions of precious souls were hungering for truth untold. "Your preachers are all too old and plain," said the gay world with a sneer. "They frighten my children with dreadful tales, which I do not like to hear. They talk of judgments and fire and pain and the doom of darkest night. They warn of a place that shall not be, thus spoken to ears polite. I will send you some of a better stamp, more brilliant and gay and fast, who will show how men may live as they please and go to heaven at last. The Father is merciful, great and good, loving and tender and kind. Do you think he'll take one child to heaven and leave another behind? So she called for pleasing and gay divines, deemed gifted, great and learned. The plain old men who had preached the cross were out of their pulpits turned. Then Mammon came in and supported the church and rented a prominent pew, and preaching and singing and floral display soon proclaimed a gospel new. You give too much to the poorest of the world, far more than you ought to do. Though the poor need shelter, food and clothes, why thus need it trouble you? Go take your money and buy rich robes and houses and horses and carriages fine, and pearls and jewels and dainty food, the rarest and costly wine. My children, they dote on all such things, and if you their love would win, you must do as they do and walk in the way, the flowery way therein. The church, her purse strings tightly held, and gracefully lowered her head and simpered, "I've given too much away. I would do so, sir, as you have said." So the poor were turned from the door in scorn. She heard not the orphan's cry, and she drew her beautiful robes aside as the widows went weeping by. Thus they of the church and they of the world journeyed closely hand and heart, and none but the Master who knoweth all understood they had been apart. Then the church sat down at ease and said, "I am rich and increased in goods increased. I have need of nothing and naught to do but to laugh and dance and feast." The sly world heard her and laughed within and mockingly said aside, "The church is fallen, the beautiful church. Her shame is her boast and pride." Thus her witnessing power, alas, was lost, and perilous times came in, the times of the end so often foretold, of form and pleasure and sin. Then the angel drew near the mercy seat and whispered in sighs her name, and the saints, their anthems of rapture hushed and covered their heads with shame. A voice came down from the hush of heaven, from him who sat on the throne, "I know thy works and what thou hast said, but alas, thou hast not known that thou art poor and naked and blind, with pride and ruin enthralled. The expectant pride of a heavenly groom is the harlot of the world. Thou hast ceased to watch for that blessed hope, hast fallen from zeal and grace. So now, alas, I must cast thee out and blot thy name from its place." But out from the side of the harlot church, while she sleeps in her indolent shame, will flee the remnant who keep God's word and honor his holy name. By faith they walk in the ways of the Lord, unmoved by the scorn of them hurled, at them hurled. By the blood of the Lamb and their witness sincere, they overcome the world. I'll read this verse here in Revelation. Yeah. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So we can be overcomers. Sorry if I took up too much time, but may the Lord bless each of you. We love you all. God bless you.